Hot takes.
Pepperoncini. Pepperoncini.
Yeah.
And now the Pepper and Genie Show with Darren Adkins and Ken Stroh. All right, take it, fellas.
There it is. That's the open.
Okay.
And welcome into Pepper and Genie, the Friday edition. Thank God it's Friday. We got a weekend and then next week, Plowsy. 80s and 90s. Summer will finally be here and we're out of this 50 and 60 degree crap.
Yeah, I got some golf ahead of me too, so it's going to be nice to golf in some nice weather. Finally.
Yeah, I'm going to try to play a couple times next week, get ready for the Dotem. And we'll have good weather, and hopefully good weather for the Dotem, which is day two is 2 weeks from today, so yep. Looking forward to it. Something happened today, Plowsy, on the morning after. In the last few days, we really haven't delved into a recap of the morning after. But today, when they brought in the cake and the balloons, very nice gesture. I was taken aback because I shouldn't have been, because that's how great the staff is here. But I basically kidded about my 30 years, basically just saying how terrible it's pretty much been that I've stayed in this business for 30 years. I have nothing to look back on as far as retirement. But it's fun. It's been a fun job. It's not like a job. I get to come to work every day and have fun, not like digging ditches. But I did it as a joke. And they brought in the cake. They brought in the flowers or the balloons. And just the staff here is just so good. We can't say enough about being over at Hubbard. Bent over backwards to make us feel welcome when we got here. Part of the team, been here 4 months, and feels like we've been here for a couple of years. So thanks to them.
Yeah.
But it got me to thinking.
Yeah, go for it.
You know, I've been here, I've been in radio for 30 years, but you've been on TMA almost 10 years, and you've been in radio since the man and woman days, which
Correct.
Is almost 15 years. That's like half of mine, but you're in your early 30s.
Yeah, so I think I hit 10-ish, maybe 11 total. I think maybe 10, and then eight and a half with the show. And certainly started out, I mean, I fell ass backwards into TMA. I think I've told the story before, but I was working weekends at 9:20 doing, you know, church, doing, you know, gospel type programming, and just was thrown into TMA when County Executive Mike left, and you know, here I am. So it wasn't like I was recruited or, you know, handpicked, but yeah, I did the man and the woman as an intern when I started. So if you want to talk about one of the, you know, the worst ideas in radio history, that's what I was involved in first. So
and like, that was 13. I don't know why I'm thinking that was 2006. That's why I was thinking 15 years for you.
Yeah, I think it was 2012 or 2013.
Yeah, 13.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so did that, and I can't believe I'm in it now, because you dealt with 590, 1380, the woman and the man. It was a lot of turnover, a lot of, again, contingently bad ideas, bounced checks. So I have a lot of stories very similar to what your book will be. I'm sure most of my recollection of radio will be in that book in terms of management, ideas that is thrown out. I love it, you know. I mean, this is what I went to school for. This is what I wanted to do, and I'm blessed enough to be on it. You know, a successful show, and now you know, probably one of the biggest radio conglomerates in the country, in Hubbard. So it's amazing where we started. Certainly different tenures, different ages, to where we're at now. A lot of sweat equity went into, you know, finally landing at a place.
Yeah, because you're at 10 years now. And you're at an age where I basically is when I started radio.
Give
I started
say,
late. I was like 31, 32 when I started, and that's about where you are now, and you've been in it almost 10 years. So, I mean, you could get to 40, 50 years in the business and probably still be at Hubbard, and you'll get a big cake for 50 years.
I would love that. And, yeah, the staff is great. And what's great is I know the sales staff. I don't work with them regularly because they always have meetings, always out and about selling. That's what great salespeople do, but even Marty Link, Craig Rutledge, you know, you got Marshall. Basically, the people that are keeping the station afloat in terms of, you know, recorded commercial spots, promo ideas, you know, keeping the station, you know, when there's a mic issue or something. So those guys are great. Obviously, Tommy kind of being the leader of it all. It's an odd spot that we're in because we're not used to, you know, having a staff of this size. And every time an idea popped out there, you know, we talk about an 8-minute mile. And now they're trying to sell it. I mean, it was just a stupid idea on the show. So You know, they're all, you know, dollars and cents, but also, you know, want to make sure that they grow the show. And
yeah.
We're not used to that.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about some of the things we've gone through in our years in radio. And one thing that, I talk about Tim all the time. And I think in the sound story that Lern asked me, she had me, she says, who's the one person you love the most on TMA? And I actually said, I can't say anything. I said, I love everybody. She said, you need one answer. And I said, well, it's got to be Tim, because, I mean, Tim has saved my job 5 times. And I said, there's nobody that I've worked with that's more loyal than Tim. But to be honest with you, after the woman, because I turned down Tim when I went to the woman. First of all, the guy offered me a good salary. And even in the back of my mind, I said, this thing isn't going to last more than 6 months. But at least for 6 months, I can make good money. That's if he pays. And it turned out he wasn't at a period of time. He stopped paying.
Yeah.
But Tim said we have 3 choices when we leave here. 2 of them involve you. 1 of them wouldn't involve you. But he said that one that wouldn't involve you is probably 5% chance. And I just said, well, but it's not 100%. So if you did take that one, I wouldn't have a job. And he understood that. He said, but I don't think it'll be that one. So I took the 1380, the woman gig. And when it was folding, I had nothing to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. There's no other station I can go to because he owns 1380, the woman and the man. He owns the 2 stations I would normally flip-flop back and forth from. And there's nothing left. And Tim gave me a job. If Tim didn't give me that job, I was probably out of radio in 2013. Who knows? I'd be, who knows, maybe a greeter at Walmart. I got nothing else I can do that I know. So basically, Tim saved my job when the man and the woman folded and gave me one.
And how I lost my job at 1380, it was a very, like, that winter was just so much snow. And drove all the way from Fairview Heights because I was doing Chris Gardner and Brendan Weesey's show and doing the morning shows for 590 at the time. And came in, did all of the production work, and 5 minutes before their show, I got let go. And I was actually, I think I was away from radio for a month or two. Had enough money to kind of survive there. And I was in a second interview as a bank teller. I was that close to never being in radio again. Burt Kaufman called me and asked if I wanted to interview for, you know, a couple board op shift to have at 9:20. And that was, you know, kind of my second chance. But I was one interview away from never being in radio and really never getting the opportunity to do TMA. So I got really lucky. Joe Roderick I interned with. I mean, without him, I wouldn't even be in St. Louis. So there's a lot of people to really thank, and kind of fell ass backwards in a lot of this quote-unquote success that I've had. And so, blessed. Certainly, Tim gave me an opportunity, you know, kind of, you know, take what I, you know, my personality and roll with it. And, you know, I thank him constantly. And the fact that he brought me back here after a self-furlough was super important for me to kind of, you know, we had unfinished business here.
Could you be a bank teller and be high? I mean, cash a check for $200 and you give somebody $2,000?
You know, I'd really worry. I'm great at, like, mental math, but I don't think that comes into play at that job. Very buttoned up. So certainly, I don't know how long I would have lasted as a bank teller, nor would I don't know if I even would have been hired, but certainly was not looking in radio at the time, which kind of shows just how close I was to being done. I'm sure there's some listeners that, you know, wish I would have. But, for me, it was just so lucky, so many people to thank, and I mean, I've been fired 4 or 5 times, though. I mean, those are interesting things,
really,
that you can still be in the same industry after, you know, so many times being let go, which kind of, you know, internally, those stories are phenomenal. You know, the book will kind of go into greater detail on some of those.
It's one thing about this job. I mean, there's really no, I mean, you could be doing a great job and be fired a day later.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing about radio is there's always somebody else there who can take your job. So you just have to do the best you can, and hopefully the people appreciate it. And that's what I love about Hubbard. They do appreciate what we do. Tim appreciates what we do. So without Tim, I probably wouldn't still be doing this. But let's look back at some of our memorable moments in radio. And 2 things that pop out to me when I first started, and for people that listen to the show, they know I kind of got into radio, you know, ass backwards, because I had no intention of it. But I just happened to play softball with Bob Ramsey and Rob Fisher, and we had beers afterwards, and they started talking about the station they were at, KSP. I took a job as an intern, got hired, and haven't stopped since. But without that, without having that beer, I probably would have stayed in a restaurant business. But I remember after KSP and going to 590, which was run by, I don't remember the name of the company Bob Birch was running, because KZK was our sister station. And I remember Ed Goodman doing the morning show with Mary Phelan in the same building as we did our show. And I was producing John Sloan's show. And then I was asked to produce a show on Sports Radio Network out of Vegas that was carried by our station. It was an after a midday show. And it was with Jerry Gross, who was a legend, and came to St. Louis to do this show. Even though it was a national show, he came to host this show. And we hosted it out of St. Louis, and we did it from Lou Brock's restaurant. And I was new in the business, other than doing John Sloan's show, but I was always stuck in the studio. And that's how I got good at getting guests, because John Sloan needed 9 guests for a 3-hour show. He had to have a guest every segment. And I'm lining up, you know, 5 times. I was lining up, you know, 36 guests a week. And then I was asked to produce this national show for Jerry Gross. And we did it from Lou Brock's restaurant. And as a kid, well, 31, 32, but to see Lou Brock almost every day, a legend. I wasn't going to Cardinal games, and I didn't have a credential. And doing it from his restaurant and having Lou Brock come up and say hi every day, that was a highlight that lasted for a while. That,
yeah.
My God, am I actually hanging out with Lou Brock every day and becoming friends with Lou Brock? You know, that sticks with you when you're just first starting out in this business.
Yeah, see, and your story is going to trump anything that I have, because I've been in it a lot less, but I just remember all the trips to spring training, which were super fun, and at the time, didn't do a lot of traveling, you know, very much a homebody. Now, at the time, haven't seen the ocean. So having those opportunities to fly out, stay a week in Florida, you know, hang out with coworkers, kind of get them to know on a more personal level, but also interview, you know, players that you watch playing.
And those Cardinal players started to like you. They started to chum up with you.
I think the key was, you know, they know I'm not writing any articles, very harmless. The questions are ridiculous. And I think you kind of, in spring training, you need to stop all the seriousness all the time. I get, you know, Gouldsy and Hummel, the reputable people writing articles, you know, talking about the team. I get that you need that part of it. But these guys are here wanting to have fun. The season doesn't start for 2 more months. And I think kind of breaking up that tension of, you know, not doing a TV interview every 15 seconds there and really talking about fries and, you know, undershirts and things like that. So I probably pushed it a little too far. I chased John Lackey to the parking lot, but I didn't know he was saying hi to his family and kids at the time, and he was pissed. Lance Lynn wasn't a fan. But you got Wainwright, who's just couldn't be nicer. Carlos Martinez, when he was here, was my favorite. You can say what you want about the guy. In terms of personality, being nice to everybody, he was just kind of that, my personality, very, you know, humble, very, you know, just kind of down to earth. He was very great. So you meet a lot of people that you never thought you would even, you know, be face-to-face, let alone talking to. And you get to know the pros, Gouldsy and all those guys. It's, you know, you read about them, you read their articles, and you kind of overwhelm the first few years. But doing videos, you know, eating Lunchables on linens, you know, and things of that nature, it's all organic, which that's why I love the show, is nothing scripted or staged.
Yeah, before we get into some of the bad things, another good thing, and this will always stick with me. I was up in it, and I finally got a credential. Through the Jerry Gross show, Jerry said, "Well, you need to get a credential because, you know, I need you to go to the ballpark and maybe try to line up some of the Cardinals players for interviews, but, you know, be in there and kind of see how it works getting interviews and things." So I got a season credential. I remember Kip Engel is the at the time, I believe, was the PR guy. Maybe I could have been Brian Bartow by then, but I got my season credential. And the first time I'm looking at this thing, it says Busch Stadium. It's got my picture on it. It says season credential. It means I can go in this press box anytime I want for a Cardinal game. And one of the first games I was at, I was walking. This is the old Busch Stadium. And the old Busch Stadium, back in the day, up in the press box, they had a lounge area. And our food was by chefs. You would go in before the game and, yeah, I'm going to have a roast beef sandwich. You slice off some roast beef, or I'm going to have a cheeseburger. And they had a tap, a beer tap there with AB products. And they would turn it on in like the eighth inning. And then after the game, a lot of the media people would just go sit in there and have a beer and chat. And I remember for dinner one night before the game, and I was going to go in and get a cheeseburger. And I walk by, and Jack Buck is sitting at a table by himself. And I walk by, and I just said, "Hi, Mr. Buck, Kenny Strode from 590 and Sports Fan Radio, the Jerry Gross Show. Just want to say how much I respect you, and it's an honor to meet you." He goes, "Familiar with your work, kid." I said, "Really?" I guess he listened to the Jerry Gross Show, and, you know, my name was mentioned on the Jerry Gross Show all the time as guest, and Jerry would always, if we had a good guest, goes, "And Kenny Strode, coming up with another good one." So I guess he just heard that. Well, when Jack Buck says, "Familiar with your work, kid," like, oh, my God, Jack Buck knows who I am. I mean, that stuck with me forever. Now, then Jack and I got to be good friends after that because, you know, we're up there every night. But for Jack Buck to say that to a kid who just started in radio that you're familiar with your work, boy, that stuck with me forever.
And, I mean, Jack Buck is obviously, you know, a St. Louis legend. If you talk about, you know, just non-sports or brand, but just personality-wise and, you know, what he meant to a city, I mean, you got to put him up there. He's so nice, too.
And a highlight of your career has to be not only you got to ride around with Arianna Marie, but, you know, interview her and stop at all these different spots and get out of the car. And thank God, just 3 days ago, she was probably doing a sex scene with T.T. Boy, and now I'm interviewing her.
You know, I actually talk to her every now and then. I still follow her on Twitter. She might be Lisa Ann is on another level in terms of personality to where, you know, where she's at in terms of what she's made and what she's done in her career, and that transition to fantasy sports and XM radio is phenomenal. But Anna Marie?
I thought it was Anna Marie.
Yeah, Ariana Marie.
Ariana, you're talking like Tim's wife, Anna Marie.
Ariana Marie couldn't have been nicer. I mean, she got into a 2003 Lumina, you know, got in the back seat with, you know, her husband, Jack of Spades, and were in St. Charles going to downtown St. Louis, and they couldn't have been nicer, you know. And we've had Bonnie Rotten, who was fine, but not talkative, you know, could tell ready to get out of there. Sassy Cassie was a diva. We have her at her level, which, you know, she is still one of the, you know, most downloaded in the business. She was perfect. Being able to be, you know, not offended by any question. She was great. And giving a guy like me a chance was certainly phenomenal. And she, like I said, still really a really great gal.
And we've gotten to meet a lot of people that I think now we just take for granted. I mean, just the other day, I mean, we acted like no big deal. Tim Meadows is in the studio. Still a big name. Here's a guy who was on Saturday Night Live for 10 years, and he just walks in, and we're like, "Hey, Tim, ready to go?" You know, you just kind of take for granted, but we've gotten to meet so many big stars in this profession that we kind of take for granted.
Well, you look at Greg Warren, and sometimes you think, oh, what a cool listener. It's like, no, this dude is a legit comedian that travels around the country and kills it. But, you know, he listened to the show locally. I mean, I worked at Billy G's part-time. This was several years ago. And so I'd be in Kirkwood a lot, and I would stop by the Walgreens before or after work, you know, pick up the essential snacks. And I would see Greg in there, and he would talk to you as if, you know, you just, like a high school buddy that you grew up with, you know, rather than just, you know, some guy I met a couple times. He's phenomenal.
Nikki Glaser, who I wanted to get on the show forever, big fan. Giddy when she came in studio that day. And then I see her in the hallway this week, and I guess Courtney had said, do you got time to go on the show you were on last time? And she had to go pick up her dog. And I was just walking in from smoking. She was walking out, and I was just going to give her a fist bump. And she came in for the hug and said, "I'm so sorry. I got to go pick up the dog, or I'd love to come in with you guys." So Nikki Glaser, who I love, big fan,
well, when you're
giving me hugs, and we're just taking it for granted.
I think when you're told by former management and other, you know, stations we worked at that were, you know, worthless, that our show, we're the show that kept a station's lights on for a very long time, but, you know, and over the years, and haven't really gotten the respect. You know, everybody always likes to mess with us, you know, the furloughs and the whatnot and the you know, the Friday 5:30 p.m. email, things of that nature. Coming here when they, you know, want us to be ourselves and, you know, want to sell the show and, you know, want our personalities out there and we'll answer any questions. I think, you know, sometimes you're amazed by what an actual work environment is and, you know, people that want, you know, successful shows. And it shows. I mean, it just shows with, you know, what they're doing right now. I mean, we've been here 4 or 5 months, and the ideas they come up with and the golf tournaments we have set up, it's, you know, tremendous.
And I think you and I are in the same boat here, is that, you know, no matter where we're at, from 7 to 10, we're happy. Because, you know, for 3 hours, we're with everybody we care about. We're having a fun show. People seem to enjoy it. We have fun doing it. But what people don't understand is sometimes, if you're not in the right atmosphere, after 10 o'clock, that all stops. And now you got to worry about, okay, what do we do today? That, am I getting fired? This, that, or is our check going to clear from certain places? You know, for the longest period of time, after 10 o'clock, it sucked. You know, and people think that's no big deal. Oh, you're getting paid to do radio. Who cares? Yeah, from 7 to 10, we're happy as larks no matter where we're at.
Well, half the time we're getting paid. I mean, some of the, remember when we went to strip clubs? You know, we'd go to strip clubs and we wouldn't even get paid for it. We're out in the, you know, the cesspool of, you know, that area right across the river. And, you know, we're not getting paid for our time. And I think it's, you know, we got used to that. You tend to get used to.
But we always did it because if it's correct. Gonna, if it's going to help the show, we're going to do it.
So when they talk about, you know, when you're doing this, you're going to get X, it's like, oh, wow, I'm not used to that. So we've had some horror stories, but for the most part, I couldn't be happier. And, you know, it's just the beginning, too, which is great. You know, we're kind of just getting our, you know, feet up from underneath of us. We're not even in the new studio.
Some of us. Oh, here, yeah.
I mean, here, yeah. In terms of the industry, we've seen it.
Yeah, I'm on the back end of mine in the ninth inning. But I will enjoy it as long as I can. And that's one thing, too. I mean, we're grateful for what we do. I say it all the time, you know, even when you're not happy with certain management people you're with and you're doing the show and then you got to put up with certain stuff. But it beats working 9 to 5 and digging ditches in the wintertime or working in a factory. You know, I'm very blessed that I get to do something I love. Now, granted, there was a lot of times that it wasn't a lot of money. There were other times I made good money, but there were other times I made hardly any money. But the fact is, I always enjoyed getting up in the morning and doing what I wanted to. And I've said all the time, and I don't know how you feel about it, but, you know, money's not that important to me as long as I can pay my bills and, you know, I don't feel like I have to, I don't have any money this week. As long as I pay my bills, I'm fine because I love what I do. And as long as you love what you do, you're going to be happy.
Yeah, for me, I was always a, you know, here and now. I wouldn't say fully live in the moment. I get that kind of cliche. But, you know, there's no use grinding away and not having fun and saving every penny. Because you never know what's going to happen a month, a year from now in terms of, you know, maybe a health situation, maybe you lose your job. I just think you need to enjoy, you know, what you can enjoy and obviously pay your bills and try to put some back. But stressing about money is probably that's the biggest determining factor for people's lives. They think about it all the time. For me, it's just, you know, if I can survive and get by, and me and Madison go on a couple vacations a year. Dogs are healthy. We're healthy. You know, I don't need the big fancy house or keeping up with the Joneses. It's just, you know, if it comes, it comes, but it's not important. It's not what I strive to do. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here just to collect a check.
Yeah, I mean, I could have went out and found a rich widow to compensate for what I do for a living. That wasn't my modus operandi. I've always said that I could win the lottery for $3 million. I'd still do the show because I love doing the show. I'd have money in the bank, and I wouldn't have to worry about retirement. I'd still do the show because I love doing this for 3 hours. I don't care how much money I have. It's just fun doing.
I wish I won the lottery. I just envy the people that get to golf 36 holes a day. Like in Florida, you see a lot of retired guys, you know, wake up, have a nice breakfast, go out and tee off, play 18, have a nice lunch, you know, maybe go get a massage, go to a bar for a couple drinks, and play a nice 18 to finish the day, and then
come home.
Go out to a nice dinner. And
have your personal chef make you a nice lamb chop.
Yeah, money can't buy happiness, but it certainly relieves the stress, which makes you happier. So I disagree with that, yeah.
I disagree. It can buy happiness. You'll be happy whether you have anybody in your life or not. I don't say that. You got to have family. But I do have that. But horror stories, we'll finish the. This has been kind of a deep dive.
It's good.
Pepper and Genie.
It gets away from the toilet talk sometimes, which you need.
Yeah, we can't just be dirty all the time.
Yeah.
I guess we'd both have to agree. You know, I've been doing it 30, you 10, but we both were in that same period that the man and the woman was just something that you just like to scratch off and just pretend that 6 months never happened.
I think the difference between that and other situations we've been in is we saw that that was going to fail immediately. Now, you still have to live through it. You still have to go rat race to cash your paycheck and things of that nature. That all was true and did happen. But you kind of knew that that was going to fail once you met the staff, once you kind of heard the ideas, once you saw the frivolous spending. You kind of knew that that may have had 6 months. Other ones are kind of very surprising how, you know, it has all the potential in the world. And then a couple people get in the way of a great idea, and then you can see what happens with when just a couple bad apples are in the basket. I mean, you're going to have headache, you're going to have problems. Once you cause drama, there's really no. I mean, once the cat is out of the bag, once you email things, once you say things, once you do things, that's just going to stick with you, and it's hard to forgive. So.
Yeah, and I've been in a few of those situations where management wasn't the best. Still. Went in every day, bust your ass, do a good show. But at the end of the day, you know, okay, now what's going to happen today? There's no way this guy can do this. There's no way this guy can do this. I know he's going to do this. And you had to worry. But you still carried on, and you knew, I'm still going to get a paycheck, and they're not folding. It's just the way this place is run. With the man and the woman, when I took the job, I knew it was 6 months. And Tim even said, you know this is going to be gone in 6 months. I said, yeah, but he's paying me enough that hopefully after 6 months I can find something else. But it took probably 3 months before I started saying, okay, this check bounced. All right, we're not getting paid next week. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, cool. The lights are off.
Yeah, the lights are off. Well, they're not off across the street, so we know it's not an electrical short.
Oh, hey, look, a construction company picketing outside of our front door.
Yeah,
sweet.
It's day after day. And I know I kid on the, I'm gonna clear this up right now. I kid on the air all the time about the women I worked with. Ah, leave me alone. Shut the door. Lock the door. Leave me alone. You know, I kid, I have fun. The women busted their ass there because they were put in a situation too where they're all new to radio. I think one of them had done some radio before, but the rest of them were like coming in fresh to do radio. They knew what they wanted to talk about, like whether it was the healthy beauty, talking about different topics, whether it was Dawn Meadows Dixon and Letitia Teague. They knew they were going to do some guests and have
what
some
up,
fun
Teague?
With it, but they'd never done radio. So they were put into a situation for the first time to try and succeed, and they weren't given that opportunity.
And they're doing shows in a closet.
But they came in and busted their ass. It's just they were not given the tools to work with.
And the transition as well, you know, when the Bubba the Love Sponge thing, it wasn't an easy transition. I think there was a lot of resentment from listeners of the stations of how it was handled in terms of going from sports to, you know, more man-the-woman talk. You know, taking the one show that was successful and then just isolating it and just bashing it and then trying to change it for a show that's in Florida, it just, you weren't going to have a lot of loyal listener continue to stay on that station with just how it went down.
That's unfortunate because you know how it works. People don't like change. Learn was on the Riz show earlier this week for the whole show because I think Patrico was out and Jeff Burton was out, so Learn came and filled in. And I was reading some of the comments because Learn put something up there. Thank you for having me. You guys are great. And I saw a couple of comments. You're leaving KSHE. Great. You're leaving KSHE to go to. No, she's just filling in. I mean, she's not going anywhere. But that's somebody that thought Learn was leaving. And now all of a sudden there's going to be a change. And they don't like change. But this was an overhaul. This wasn't like one guy left 590 and they put somebody else in there. This was two stations that went from sports to now man talk and woman talk.
Like you said, there wasn't a golden goose on the other side. That's for sure.
Oh, God, it was just so bad. And there'll be two chapters in the book on this. That was probably the worst thing. I mean, I've been in other situations where I had to work with produce shows. I really don't want to work with that person, but I did my best as a professional to do it. But afterwards, it's like, have a drink? Nope, I don't even want to talk to you. I have to do this show because I'm getting paid to do it, and I'm going to be a professional, but I don't like you. So, no, we're not having drinks. Don't talk to me before the show. Don't talk to me after the show. During the show, anything pertaining to the show, talk to me. No small talk. And I made it very, very clear that I don't like you. And that's hard to do when you have to do 5 days a week, and you know you don't like the person, and now he knows I don't like him. Don't talk to me. But I'm a professional. I just think, no, what guest do you want? I'll get your guest and, you know, we'll talk during the show. But after that, don't call me during the weekend. Don't text me. Don't do anything. I don't want to talk to you. That's hard. This show, no. This show is You know, I work with four of the greatest people in the world that I would take a bullet for.
Yep. Yeah, that's the thing, is our rapport. You know, it's, you know, a lot of thank change stations, you know, things of that nature, you know, people that you work with. But, you know, the core, you know, we get along great. We don't do show prep, which is great, too. I think the show would be ruined if we came in and talked about what we wanted to talk about.
So, Plaza, because of this Pepper and Genie episode, half of this balloon is for you. Well, a third of this balloon is for you. A third of that cake is for you.
I will take the cake.
Because you got 10 years to my 30. So a third of that cake is yours. A third of this balloon is yours.
I just want your head. Like, just take that part of the cake.
But three-fourths of this show is yours. This is more Genie than Pepper.
I love it. And it's equal parts Pepper and Genie. That's what makes it special.
Yeah, we have fun. Is this our first week or second week doing this?
We're done with second week, baby.
Second week. Time just flies.
I think we're on episode 10, I hope.
Hopefully people are enjoying it, because we just, you know, we don't prepare for this. Tim said, what are you talking about today? I don't know. We haven't really talked about it.
Just like the show, and that's why it's on.
We were out smoking and said, let's talk about the cake. And we'll talk about our favorite memories of our years in radio. So anyway, this is kind of a serious
I liked it, though. We had some funny stories, and one that we could go more in depth later on in P&G podcast.
Oh, yeah. There's you know, we both got things to do. You got to finish editing, and I got to go take a nap. So we're busy today. All right. Thanks for listening to Pepper and Genie. For all the mothers out there, have a great Mother's Day on Monday. I saw something that the three things mothers want most on Mother's Day is a card, flowers, and just be with the family.
I'll be with my sister and my mom on Saturday, so I'm pumped.
So there you go. Whatever you're going to do. Mothers, happy Mother's Day. Thanks for everything you do. We'll be back at again Monday right here. Pepper and Genie, TMA, STL, and Hubbard Radio. Have a great weekend.